Nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be here as usual. Now, you're not going to make me go dig up that particular piece of music for this, are you?
I never make you go dig up any of this. Well, okay, maybe I did make you dig up one a while back, and that was our intro music that we used to start this program every day. But well, other than that, you always have the free will, Charles, and the liberty of conscience to either go look up those taglines of music that I throw out on some of these programs or not.
Well, actually, I'm predestined to do that, so...
Well, that's because God is sovereign over all. And you know what? It is Scripture, Charles, that tells us that God sees everything we do, even the hidden things, so that there's nothing that we do that's not seen by Him. It seems to me, though, Charles, with an article that just came out today, and this is on Sunday night. This article came out a couple days ago. We just caught it today on FoxNews.com. An article talking about some science and technology that, Chuck, I think you and I kind of can see read the tea leaves here, that this is something that might be used by governments to basically play God. In other words, to be able to see and find things and people in areas that are not necessarily able to be seen generally or with the naked eye.
Well, as you know, we've discussed offline a little bit, as government attempts to take more and more and more of God's responsibilities over, unsuccessfully, they have to try to become more and more and more like God. And so this is one of those things that, while it has a pretty deep, you know, I don't want to be a Luddite and say I don't like technology and, you know, all that, because I do. I'm kind of a technological guy.
Yeah, I'm the technological Luddite. I'm the one that you always have to say, hey, you know, if you just had this or this or did this or did this thing a software, and I'm looking at you like you're talking in a foreign tongue.
Well, my brother is the worst in the world. He hates just turning on his computer, but he realizes he has to these days. That being said, what's going on here is basically some stuff that, as in all technology, technology in itself is not evil, but all technology has the ability to be used for evil.
It can be. Yes, that's
yes.
Right.
And you and I can see the dark side of this technology.
Maybe that's just because we're slightly pessimistic. I don't know, Charles. But
well, I think we're more realistic.
I think we've seen so many of these things, we kind of start putting the pieces together and figure out the tab A fits into slot B, and that's how this thing is pieced together. But, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is a new scientific tool that's being used to, as this article claims, locating the lost city of gold. No, we're not talking about El Dorado here, folks, but close to it. It's a city that is somewhere in the Honduran jungles, in the Mosquitia region of Honduras. Archaeologists have discovered ruins they think may be the lost city of Ciudad Blanca, or the White City. And supposedly, by legend, this city is filled with gold. And that was why Hernando Cortez and others were looking for it as far back as the 1500s, but had never been able to find it. Now, how did archaeologists come across it now? Did they go out there, Chuck, and put on their, you know, little pith helmets and their backpacks and their hiking boots with their machetes cut through the forest for months and months on end until they happened to run across this set of ruins? Well, no, not quite. They actually have used some more modern technology, and it's this technology that I think you and I have seen some concerns regarding. Now, what they're using, ladies and gentlemen, is a thing called LIDAR. No, I'm not joking. This isn't supposed to be funny. LIDAR, laser-assisted mapping. So basically, it's sort of like sonar when you send out sound bursts, and when it comes back, it tells you the distance and somewhat of the general outline of the thing that you hit with the sonar image. Well, this is hitting it with laser beams. Now, I'm not talking about laser beams like in the science fiction movies that cut through steel bulkheads and things like that, or blow through bad guys and aliens. We're talking about pulse laser that actually goes, and it's almost similar to sonar, where it bounces off of the elevation and bounces back to a receiver. And by that, then they take it into the computer and create a 3D digital map of the contours of the land, even through thick jungle foliage. And that, so that's what they did. It's called light detection and ranging, or LIDAR. And they used this in this section of Honduras in this huge, massive rainforest. And what they started finding were some data that came back that looked like buildings and ruins. And so now they think that they may have found this. And they've been studying this area, Chuck, modernly for the last 25 years. And so they have never seen anything like this in 25 years that they've been studying this region. I guess this new technology, this LIDAR, has been around since about 2009, when a gentleman by the name of Bill Carter, who's an engineer at the University of Houston, developed this from a grant from the National Science Foundation. And, you know, Chuck, you and I both are very familiar with the National Science Foundation and their executive director, Eugenie Scott, who are huge opponents to intelligent design and creation, very much sold on evolution. But that's really not the thrust of our thought here today. But just to kind of give you a little background, ladies and gentlemen, of who we're dealing with here, the National Science Foundation gets a lot of your taxpayer dollars through Congress, handing it over to them for various things where they then turn and grant the money, and they did to Professor Carter, who developed LIDAR. And so now the archaeologists that are also working with the National Science Foundation, especially their organization called the National Center for Airborne Laser Mapping, have now started working this and sending this out over the rainforest in Honduras. And they think they found something pretty important. Now, Chuck, as you and I talked about this, it's interesting to see how they do this, because this thing, supposedly, it's 100,000 laser pulses per second. Now, that's pretty intense, if you ask me, but I don't know a whole lot about this technology.
Okay, I think the article's a little bit incorrect, that this technology's been around since 2009. It's been around a lot longer than that.
Sure.
Because, believe it or not, when you see the Ohio State Highway Patrol sitting out by the side of the road, most of them now use a LIDAR speed gun.
Oh, okay. So this is basically, maybe it's just being used in this kind of
Exactly. This is a new use for it. When you think about what is going on with a LIDAR speed gun, you're essentially measuring the time it takes for this automobile to change position, and you're measuring the position change by the time it takes to reflect back. Right. It's a simple old Doppler effect. You're just using a light ray instead of a radio beam. Now, you can see how this would be useful in that. And by the way, that's one of the evil uses that we talked about earlier for LIDAR to increase state revenue by catching speeders. But just joking, ladies and gentlemen, we all understand that we don't want people going 150 miles an hour on the freeway.
Unless they're in a really, really fine sports car.
What LIDAR allows you to do that the old radar couldn't do, a lot of radar wouldn't penetrate trees.
Right.
And those kinds of things. This laser is a very intense light beam, and it will penetrate canopies. That's kind of the difference, because it's an infrared beam. It will penetrate, and when you're doing 100,000 flashes per second, basically what you're getting is a whole lot of data back.
Yes.
So you can see minute details from these things. The more data you can get back in a short amount of time, the more detail you can get, and that's exactly what they're doing here. So what they're doing is they're mapping out small structures that are underneath the canopy of the jungle.
Right.
It's really kind of a neat thing when you look at it, but you can also see where it would be a problem if you wanted to hide something and you had a good reason to hide it.
Well, and it's interesting here, Chuck, because, you know, I picked up on this in this article, like I said, from FoxNews.com, and basically they were talking about what they did, and I guess over for 4 days, they flew dual-engine Cessna airplanes over the 60-square-mile region of the rainforest in the section of Honduras. And what they did is, as they were gathering this data, it was being sent every day back to Bill Carter at the University of Houston. But, well, he actually wasn't in Houston, working in West Virginia right now. So they would send it probably by email or by file download, maybe using a file sharing system, to Carter, who then would look at it and analyze the data. And he said basically it took him 5 minutes to pick out in the data the first signs of what appeared to be human-made structures. And he said that he saw straight lines and right angles that don't normally appear in nature. And so by looking at this data, he was able to accurately get a fairly good picture of what was under those trees that nobody else had seen, and even the Honduran government didn't think was there, which were buildings. And as they said later, they also found agricultural plots under the forest that they could tell from the way they were laid out. Now, I think that's interesting, Charles, because here we have an airplane flying in the sky, a Cessna, and folks, everybody knows that's a fairly small plane, and I guess they said they're dual-engine ones, so they're a little bit bigger, carrying this this LIDAR equipment, shooting laser beams down from an airplane down into this 60-square-mile stretch of land, and it's pulling all that up, crunching it into numbers, putting it into a computer database, and then somebody can take it and analyze it, and in 5 minutes can tell you what's out there. Now, Chuck, you know what? The potential for this to be used for scientific advancement is fantastic. And, you know, and this whole idea about maybe finding Ciudad Blanca will be a fine thing if they do so, and it'll probably create some issues because I think a cinematographer by the name of Steve Elkins, by the story, actually paid the National Science Foundation to do this for him because he's wanting to make a movie about finding the lost city of gold. So there may be some issues with the Honduran government over that since they didn't think there was anything there to start with, and now if they find it, it's their goal, probably. But the big thing is, Charles, and this is what you and I really started talking about, was as this article developed, and this is by, and I'm sorry, I should have said this up front, the writer of the article for FoxNews.com is a Francie Diep, D-I-E-P. So if you want to look us up on their website, ladies and gentlemen, you can do that. You know,
we'll put a link out to it.
We'll put a link out to it, and we also want to make sure we give full credit because we don't want to end up like certain other individuals who lose their radio programs because they plagiarized from other people without credit. We don't like doing that. But as we were talking about this, Francie Diep put a little comment in here, next to last paragraph of this article, that got us thinking. And basically said that in the future, the center, the National Science Foundation Center, hopes to develop smaller, lighter, and less expensive LIDAR that is able to ride in unmanned robotic aircraft. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been with us for any time on this program, you realize that Charles and I have been very much involved in discussions about the use of drones on U.S. soil and the dangers that are involved in that for our personal liberties and privacy. Now, Charles, we're talking about a potential of using this LIDAR, building it in such a way that it can fit on an unmanned aircraft. Now, you and I talked on an earlier program about one that had a 150-foot wingspan called the Phantom I, and my guess is it's a little bit bigger than a dual-engine Cessna, so it's probable that they could actually, and that one was engineered so it could stay in the air for 4 days at a time, if you remember this.
Well, think about this. 100 feet of wingspan is two-thirds of the size of the wingspan of a B-52 bomber.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that the body is the same size, and those things are engineered a little differently. But the fact is, it can fly for 4 days, and the payload capability with a 100-foot wingspan is pretty big.
It is. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why this article, most of the time, if you're really not involved in history or maybe treasure hunting or anything like that, talking about finding the lost city of gold sounds like a storyline out of Indiana Jones movies. And it is. But in reality, this is actually opening the window on what could be coming in a surveillance society in our country in the very near future, funded in part, Chuck, by our tax dollars through the National Science Foundation.
Yeah.
They've got a plane out there now. We reported on earlier called the Phantom I. It's a big unmanned drone that Boeing aircraft specially created so that it would stay in the air for an extended amount of time. And I think they said 4 days, if I remember.
4 days.
I'd have to go back to the article, but I think it was 4 days. If you put this LIDAR on there and then send it over an area, there's hard to tell what they may be looking for out there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, maybe it's the location of certain buildings or structures in the woods. It's hard to say what it could be used for. My guess is, Charles, just like with a cop's radar gun, unless you had some kind of a sensor that caught that pulse and understood what it was and, you know, alerted you to it, you probably wouldn't even know it was being done to you.
Probably not. Well, listen, I hate to do this to you, but we are out of time.
Wow, it goes by so fast.
Yes. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.